name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. I will be brief with you this morning, but I just wanted just to say a couple of things about this feast today, the Feast of Pentecost. As you know, after 50 days of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, the apostles were gathered in the upper room, and there, as they were gathered together, there was a mighty rushing wind that came through the room, and fiery tongues of fire sat upon each one of the apostles, and they began to speak in tongues. And this is the Feast of Pentecost, the beginning of the apostolic ministry of the church, which was sent throughout all the world to preach the gospel and the redemption of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Pentecost is the culmination of everything that we have been celebrating over the last 100 days, from the beginning of Lent, through the Holy Week, through the Feast of the Resurrection and the 50 days afterwards. And it is the culmination of the redemptive work of our Lord Jesus Christ. We could say that if God has become man, if he lived and suffered, if he died and rose from the dead, he did all of this so that he could give us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the capstone of our Lord's salvific work. And I just want to say three brief points about the feast today. The first one is how Pentecost relates to the world, how Pentecost relates to the church, and how Pentecost relates to each Christian soul. The Feast of Pentecost is a feast of unification, a feast of unity. One of the ancient Eastern hymns of the church says, "Once when he descended and confounded the tongues, the Most High divided the nations. And when he divided the tongues of fire, he called all men into unity. And with one accord, we glorify the all-holy Spirit." The hymn is speaking about the Tower of Babel, which is mentioned in the book of Genesis, chapter 11. As you know, as a result of the sin of pride, those who were trying to build this tower up to the heavens, Tower of Babel, God confounded them by multiplying their tongues. So they couldn't understand each other, and they lost the unity of the human race. So sin, especially the sin of pride, leads to disunity, leads to a fractured and fractionated people. But the Holy Spirit unites. And the Feast of Pentecost, when he descended upon the apostles as tongues of fire, he united the nations. He united the races. He united the peoples of every land. So the grace of the Holy Spirit is capable and is sent into the world to gather the world into a single whole. By the Spirit of God, the unthinkable is made possible, that all men should become one again in truth and in love, regardless of race, nationality, age, social position, or whatever it might be that divides us. So the Holy Spirit is not just calling us to friendship and brotherhood and equality, but it's calling us to a true love, the love of God in deed and in truth. Jesus said, which might seem like a contradiction, do you think that I came to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. So how do his words coincide with the feast of today and the work of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of unity? Well, he wants to warn us against a false unity. There is a true unity and there is a false unity. And Christ came to bring us truth. He came to bring us the truth about God, the truth about man, the truth about the world, the truth about everlasting life. And so he says to us that this truth will be accepted by some, but it will be rejected by others. And because of that, it will bring division. But he doesn't come to bring division. He doesn't desire division. He desires that all of us be one in truth and in love. So the Pentecost feast is a very important feast for us today, especially with what the world is going through today. It is the feast of unity, the feast of truth. And in the same way, the Pentecost is also important to the church, because St. Augustine said something very beautiful about Pentecost and the church. He said, "The church is the world reconciled to God." Or another way of saying it from the Latin translation is, "The world reconciled, that is the church." The world reconciled to God and to one another, that is the church. The church is not a human institution. The church is not something that should be dividing us between whatever lines of division there are that exist among us as people. But the church is simply when the world is reconciled. When it's reconciled to God and when it's reconciled with each other, that is the definition of the church. There's a beautiful quote from one of the saints. He says, "The church is not a political party, nor a social ideology, nor a worldwide organization for harmony or material progress, even though we recognize the nobility of these and other activities. The church comes to confirm only one essential, definitive truth, that our destiny is eternal and supernatural, that only in Jesus Christ are we saved for all time, and that only in him will we achieve in some way already in this life true peace and happiness." The church is God's vision for mankind. The church is the vision that God has for all of mankind, a union that is achieved not by human effort, not by human strength, not by human ideas, not by human policies and political organizations. And no matter how much the human being progresses, it will not come from man. It will come from God. It will come from the Spirit of God, who reconciles all people to himself. And that's why the church, we say, some people say that Pentecost is the birthday of the church. It's not really the birthday of the church, because the church always existed. The people of God existed from the beginning. Even in the Old Testament, the people of God were there. But we could say that the church was empowered on this day. The people of God were always there from the beginning of human history. But today, the church was empowered. It was given power by the Holy Spirit. And this is made manifest in the sacraments of the church, all the sacraments of the church. It is given in the hierarchy of the church, the organization of the church. And so St. John Chrysostom says, if the Holy Spirit were not present, the church would not exist. If the Holy Spirit were not present, the church would not exist. Because today the church was empowered to preach the word of God, empowered to witness to the redemptive work of Christ, empowered through her sacraments to give eternal life, to deliver eternal life to everyone who comes to drink from this font of eternal life. And then lastly, the Pentecost and the human soul. One of the saints again said that Christian life is the reproduction of Jesus in the soul. Christian life is the reproduction of Jesus in your soul and in my soul. Just as Christ was conceived in the world by the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, so each one of us is also conceived again, born again, by the Holy Spirit. And just as Christ was born of the Holy Spirit, so he is born in us and reproduced in us by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is what it means to be born again. He turns, by this power, he turns fishermen into apostles, persecutors into martyrs, the rebellious sinners into children of God, the arrogant and the proud and the boastful to the meek and humble of heart. Just look at the history of the church. Look at the world around you and see how many lives have been transformed and transfigured by the work of Christ in every human soul. Only he has the power to bring about such a reproduction. One of the stories I'll never forget I read about Mother Teresa was about some guy who was driving. He was an addict, involved in criminalities. And he was driving, and he was listening to the radio, and they were playing a speech of Mother Teresa that she was giving at some prize that she had won, some international prize, and all the TV stations were playing her speech. And he kept trying to change the channel because he didn't want to hear some nun speaking. But they were all playing her address. And so he just listened to it, and after a few minutes, he found himself weeping. This big, tough, you know, addict and criminal. He just found himself overcome, and he started crying. So he pulled over his car, and he just cried and cried and cried. And he called the radio station. He said, "Who is this person?" They told him, "This is Mother Teresa. She's a nun in India, and she does..." So he found, this was I think in San Francisco, he found one of the houses of Mother Teresa in San Francisco, and he went and visited them, and then they pointed him to another place in New York where they dealt with people who were dealing with addictions, and he went and he lived with them, and he overcame his, and his life changed in a moment. Show me any other power in this world that brings about such an instantaneous and perfect and beautiful transformation in a person's life. This is what Christ does in this human soul by the power of the Holy Spirit. How do we acquire the Spirit more and more as Christians? Every sacrifice of love, every sacrifice of patience, every sacrifice of humility and generosity in the name of Christ makes us open to the Holy Spirit. One of the Russian saints, St. Innocent of Alaska, he said, "These then are the ways of receiving the Holy Spirit, purity of heart and integrity of life, humility, attentive listening to the voice of God, prayer, self-denial, reading the Word of God, and communion of the body and blood of Christ. Of course, each of these alone is effectual for receiving the Holy Spirit, but the best and surest way is to use them all together. Then you will undoubtedly receive the Holy Spirit and become holy." Christian life is the reproduction of Jesus in every human soul. Finally, we've been speaking about unity. As we saw on the Tower of Babel, sin leads to disunity. As we saw today in the Feast of Pentecost, the Spirit unites in truth and in love. But there is a third, final thing for us to reflect on, which is seen perhaps in many of the saints and in the prophecies who have especially been intensifying over the centuries about what the last days will look like. So look at the sequence. Sin leads to disunity. The Spirit of God leads to unity. The Antichrist will bring a false unity. He will bring a unity that is not based on the truth. He will bring a unity that will appear to be very beautiful and lovely and packaged just perfect for humanity. And it will present itself as a way to unite the whole world, but it will be missing one essential thing. It will be missing Jesus Christ. And this will be the spirit of the Antichrist. And this is the warning on the day for us of Pentecost, that there is a true unity and there is a false unity. And the false unity is very subtle. And it is coming around the corner as we see it today. And as Christians, we have to be on guard, that we remember that truth is always accompanied in the Gospels by truth in love, and love in truth. The two cannot exist without one without the other. Truth in love and love in truth. May our Lord Jesus Christ bless us and bless the whole world on this day of Pentecost and bring about peace and unity in truth and love, and glory be to him now and ever into the ages of ages.